Galatians chapter 5, if you will. You kids, let me tell y'all young people something. There's going to come a day in your life where you're going to wish you could go back and do a lot of things. You better do them now. You better love people now. You better tell them now. Galatians chapter 5, that's kind of what I want to preach along those lines. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now the New Testament makes a big deal out of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, serving in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. And it, more than anything, it's living in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you for just a little bit about how we can make our Christian life count. You know, a lot of people live as Christians and die, and then people will say, "I didn't even know they was a Christian." It didn't count. Didn't count for nothing. They went to heaven, but their life counted for nothing. And so tonight I want to ask you to pay close attention, if you will. Amen. Now, to avoid the tragedy of a wasted Christian life, the Bible's got some things it tells us to do. And we don't have to waste our lives. And I'm going to say it again, and we don't have many young people, but I'll say it to the old people too. Don't wait. Start now. Don't wait till you've wasted or you've destroyed your life and then turn to Christ and want to serve Him. It may be too late then. Okay, do it now. But turn to Matthew 16:25, if you will. Matthew 16:25. Most everyone in here tonight claims to be a Christian, young and old. Y'all claim to be Christians. And that's why we're here tonight, is to learn how we can make our lives count. From the day I was saved, well, before I was saved, I wanted to make a difference. I didn't want to leave this world and not make a difference. Before I was saved, I was like that. And I wanted to make a difference. And after I got saved, God gave me the ability to make a difference. And I'm glad I haven't wasted my life. I've made mistakes, and I've fallen and gotten up. Are you looking at the king of start over? I've started over in all kinds of ways. But I guarantee you one thing, I ain't never quit. Never laid down. Never backed up, you know. I might sin and get down and then ask the Lord to forgive me and get back up and go on. Amen. You fall off the horse, get back on. That's how you learn how to ride a bicycle. They didn't have training wheels where I come from. They had skint knees and skint elbows. Amen. You just ride and fall and get up and ride and fall and get up and ride and fall. After a while, you'll learn it. Amen. Amen. And so the Christian life's the same way, but you don't have to end in defeat. You don't have to live in defeat. Y'all listening? You don't have to live that way. You can be something for the Lord. Amen. Look at, if you will, Matthew 16:25, and I think I touched on this verse this morning. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." This is Jesus talking. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Now, here's what we've got to do. Now, let's say you've been saved. You know if you died, you go to heaven. You've been scripturally baptized. You've been obedient, believing to be baptized. You've joined a local church. You've started going to Sunday school. You're reading your Bible every day. You're praying every day. You're trying to walk right and live right and do what you ought to do. Here's what you need to do. To make your life count, completely abandon your life and give it to Him. I mean, abandon it. Just give it up everywhere you go. "Lord, if this is where you want me to work, if this is where you're going to go with me, this is where I want to work. Lord, if this is where you want me to go to school, and this is where you're going to bless me, this is where I want to go to school. If this is the one I need to marry, this is the one I'm going to marry. If that ain't the one, I ain't married. I don't care how they look or how much money they got. this is what you want, Lord. If this is where you want me to go to church, this is where I'm going to church." Abandon it. Just give it to Him. I told you before, when I'd go fill out applications for jobs, I couldn't put all the jobs I'd had on there. When I was lost, I'd get mad and quit. Ron, you kind of know what I'm talking about, don't you? I knew you did. I just get mad and quit. The boss man looked at me with that snake eye. Oh, give me that red neck. I was out of there, man. I didn't pick up my last check sometimes. My poor wife, I'd come home, be done, quit another job. Then I got saved. She probably thought that we're finally going to get everything settled. I got saved, and they said, you got to work on Sunday. I said, I won't be working here no more. I didn't have to argue about it. I went to work. Y'all didn't know it. I helped build a nuclear plant out there. I worked out there, I think, about 18 months or so. Like to froze to death out there on that lake in the wintertime. But I tell you what, a man said, we're going to start working on Sundays. I said, I won't be working on Sunday. I said, you'll have to come over to church and see me on Sunday. I don't work on Lord's Day. Well, we'll write you up. I said, well, how many write-ups does it take to get fired? He said, three. I said, we're going to work next three Sundays? He said, yeah, and more. I said, go ahead and write them three because I ain't going to be here. I quit that job. Well, you work for Duke Power. I made more money at the mill, by the way. I went back at the cotton mill. Amen. Then they started working on Sunday. I said, I'm not working on Sunday. They got those weird shifts, you know. I said, I'm not doing that. Not since I got saved. I've abandoned all that. Well, we never went hungry. The Lord always took care of us. Amen. Just abandon your life to Jesus Christ, and in the long run, it'll pay off. In the long run. Now, you won't always see instant results. I'm not like T.D. Jakes or one of those guys on television, but in the long run, it will pay off. Amen? You'll reap what you sow. And then, if we're going to make the most out of our Christian life, look at Luke 9:23, if you will. Look over at Luke 9:23, and I'll flip back to Luke. And listen, I'm talking about not just being a Christian, but making the most out of it, making something out of it. There's so many people that show up on to church as little as they think they have to qualify to go to heaven. They have this quota they think they have to do to church attendance to get to go to heaven. Even saved people think like that sometimes. So you'll see them on their minimal quota day. It may be once a year. It may be once every 6 months. Maybe once a month or once a week. But they've got this thing figured out, Brother Ron. They think, boy, I got this figured out. I can serve the Lord and still have all this other good time too. Amen? But sometimes you can't do that. You have to lose your life. You got to lose your life. Look at Luke 9:23, if you will. In verse 23, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Well, that ain't what that guy on television said. Let him deny that Cadillac, that Mercedes, that BMW. Now, ain't nothing wrong with having those, but I'm saying he is more important than anything else. Let him deny that CEO job or that boss man job. Let him deny those friends, or let her deny that boyfriend. Amen? Amen? And deny yourself. And then what did he say? Take up his cross daily and follow me. That's everyday Christianity. That's not Sunday. People whine and cry to me, and I used to put up with it when I was a younger preacher because I was afraid of running people off. Well, Pastor, I just can't be faithful to church because, you know, I got this toenail, and it just, I can't wear my favorite sandals. Oh, shut up. Get right with God, amen? Amen. Maybe your cross is a crooked toenail. I don't know. Maybe you got a hammer toe. I don't know. Amen? Maybe you got arthritis. Maybe you got a wife that cusses you out every time you go out the door. Whatever it is, take up that cross every day and carry it with you. Well, preacher, I can't be a good Christian on my job because they sell alcohol. Quit your stinking job and get you a job where you can be a good Christian.
Come on now.
Unemployment rate's 3.9%. 3% of the people are unemployable because they have so handicaps and things. So really, the unemployment rate is 0.9%. You can quit a job today, go across the street, get you another one. Amen? Quit making excuses. Pick up your cross and follow the Lord every day. Well, I'll lose friends. deny yourself. You don't have to have those friends. By the way, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. If you're going to be, hey, if you carry a cross, ain't many people going to come help you carry it. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to be carrying that thing all by yourself. Amen. They're not going to come to your rescue. Look at Psalm 118, verse 27. Psalm 118, verse 27. Now, Rudy, I got to get rid of this creaking board under me. I feel like it's about to drive me crazy. There's a board right here. Every time I move, it goes creak, 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 creak. The what? The treasure. I thought treasure was in my heart. Oh, it's a trap door. Okay. Y'all stay out of my prison. I'm trying to be serious. Okay. Psalm 118, verse 27. Are you there yet? God. Am I still waiting on you? Say amen if you got it. I hear people over here talking. I thought maybe you're looking for it. Psalm 118, verse 27. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. He said there's some things you ought to lay on the altar. There's some things you ought to sacrifice. And listen, sacrifice is never easy. Sacrifice is self-denial. Sacrifice is taking up the cross. Now, we don't offer lambs, so we don't have to tie them up. We don't have to sacrifice them. But as we follow the Lord, there are some things that we have to sacrifice. Yeah. You have to give up some things. And then there's some other things that are good, but you need to lay them on the altar. And say, now, Lord, this is the job you gave me. Now, if this is where you want me to work, I'm giving it to you, Lord. Lord, this is the person you wanted me to marry. And if I'm supposed to marry this person, I'm laying them on the altar. I'm not marrying them unless you want me to marry them. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
I don't care if you got a Volkswagen or a Hugo. Y'all remember the Hugo? That thing was put together by duct tape and shoestring. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what kind of house you live in. You give it to the Lord. It ain't yours anymore. It's His. We don't own a stinking thing. When we got saved, He bought and paid for everything we've got. And you'll lay it on the altar. And if your pride is in something that you can't let go, you better tie that up and throw it on the altar because it's fixing to kill your spirituality. Amen? TV preacher says, well, if you're a good Christian, you're going to be rich. Well, what about mine, your grandma and our great-grandma and grandpa that barely did have a stool to sit on in the house? They never heard of air conditioning and bank accounts. My mama never wrote a check in her life. She don't even know what a checking account is. And we had some good Christians back then, amen? They didn't drive fancy cars and live in... Now, they ain't nothing wrong if the Lord gives it to you as long as you bind it and lay it on the altar, amen? All right, sit up. Jamie, you sick. Sit up. Sit up. I'm preaching over here. Amen? Now listen to me. If we don't give it back to the Lord, He may decide to take it away from us.
Yes.
Amen? All right. You with me? You ought to burn your bridges. Burn your bridges. If there's anything that makes it difficult for you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to bind that thing up, give it to the Lord, and say, I must not need that in my life, Lord. Here it is. Take it away from me.
Amen.
And then, when you give it to Him, don't ever go back to it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If somebody is hindering your spiritual growth,
amen,
and they live next door to you, don't ever walk that direction. Walk the other direction.
Amen.
If there's some place used to tempt you to go in there and sin, take the other block. Travel 2 or 3 miles if you got to. Those old friendships, those old haunts, y'all used to haunt so much. My mama would say, haint. Those old haints. Hey, leave them alone. Get away from them. Burn your bridges. Don't go back to that crowd you ran with. And I thought it when I got saved. I thought, well, I'll go down there and win them all to the Lord. Did you know I'm the only one in that crowd, I think, that never heard the gospel? They'd all heard it and rejected it. And when I went to see him, oh yeah, we're glad to have you back. I'll never forget Tommy Owens, our deacon that's gone to heaven. He told me that he was going to invite all the men down at the American Legion. He'd never even been in the military, but they made him some kind of honorary member. They loved him to death because he could outdrink them all. That's all it was anyway. And he got right with God. He said, I'm going to go down there and tell them boys. I'm going by them church. He said, and I called up the sergeant of arms or something. He said, listen, I'm coming down there tonight. I want to talk to you. He said, when he got there, all his old friends were sitting around tables. When he come in, they were shouting, hey, I knew you'd come back. Old Tommy, there he is. He said, I walked over and he said, I didn't come down here to drink with you. I come down here to tell you about Jesus. He said, like turn on light and the cockroaches running all different directions. I mean, burn those bridges. Hey, look, they didn't help you then. They're not going to help you now. Amen. All we got to do is get away from anything that would hinder us from wholeheartedly doing what we're supposed to do. That's why when you get married, you leave all them old friends. They don't care about your marriage. Come on, help me here. Amen. That's why when you get saved, you leave all your teenage old friends. They don't care nothing about your salvation. You say, well, I can't do that. You can do that. You draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to thee. Now, I'm telling you, if we're going to be successful, we're going to have to burn our bridges. You cannot go back. I had somebody tell me one time they came to church and they said, well, I just go down there and I just drink tea because it looks like bourbon and they think I'm still drinking with them. I said, it won't be long. It won't be long. That brown stuff won't be tea no more. It won't be long. And it wasn't long. It wasn't long. They were gone. Amen. Burn that bridge. Look at Luke 9:62 real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I've never used a mule to plow. Mama used to call old man to plow our garden every year. He had a mule. But I can tell you about a tiller, my plow. My wife, my dad-in-law, still makes fun of me and laughs how I went out in the yard and I cranked that tiller and the ground was so hard, it dug in about that much and then it took off with me like that right there. It just took me with it, brother. And she said, why didn't you let it go? I said, I didn't know you could let it go. I'd like to kill myself. They still make fun of me for that. I almost run into my own truck with the tiller. That thing. But I found this out, just like with a plow, if you turn around and look back, that thing's going to go. Every time. It will never fail. If you're tilling up a garden, and I don't care if you're going through it for the third time, if you turn around and look and talk to somebody, that thing's going to go. And you're going, oh, man. And Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow, you need to keep going forward, looking forward. Don't ever look back. Amen. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't look back. Look straight ahead. Now, we need to learn how to live and serve Him alone and not look back. I hear so many people talk about, and sometimes even testify, about how much they have sacrificed and given up to be a Christian. And I think to myself, you ain't given nothing. You ain't sacrificed anything. You lay it on the altar and then He gives you something better. He gives you that back sanctified. Amen. Amen? And if you don't need it, you didn't give it up. He took it away from you because you never would have given it up for long. You'd have went back and picked it up. He said, you put your hands in that plow and you don't you ever look back. Because you're going to swerve. You're going to go the wrong direction. Now, y'all young people, listen to me. Every one of you, listen to me. Don't you look back to those friends. Don't you look back to those. And by the way, the devil never reminds you of the bad times when you was lost. He only reminds you when you thought you was having a good time. Amen. I never done drugs. I knew if I ever did them, I'd do them till I died. They'd kill me. I knew that. That's my personality. But I can tell you this, the devil ain't never reminded me of those gas stations where I had to stop and hug the commode and throw up. They don't show you that on the Miller Time commercial. They don't show you that on the Bud Stupid or commercial. Amen? Don't you look back. Don't you look back. He says, you take that plow and you go forward. And if you look back, you know what? You're not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, you might still go to heaven. You can die a defeated, sorry, low-down Christian, but he's given you the promise he'll take you to heaven. But you'll go yet so as by fire. When you get to heaven, he'll burn up everything you ever did.
That's right.
It'll be gone. All you'll have is salvation. There'll be some little old 10-year-old girl in there who stayed faithful to what she knew, and she'll have more rewards than you do. We got to refuse to be sidetracked. A lot of people start off well and end bad because they got sidetracked. Boy, they'll come to church, they'll run down the aisle, and they'll weep, and they'll cry, and they'll make a profession of faith, and they'll say, "Woo, this is where I belong. I'm going to be here all my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to witness." But they start looking back after a couple of weeks, and then after a couple of months, you can't even find them anymore. And then you find somebody, they'll say, "Didn't old so-and-so used to go to your church?" I say, "Yeah, you seen him? Yeah, down at the bar. His wife's done left him. He'd been to jail." Because he looked back. Now I'm famous for my driving. I would be in NASCAR, but they just don't go fast enough for me. They got all those hindrances on them now. They got these carburetor plates and all this stuff, and they make them low to the ground. I liked it when it was a petty blue Plymouth with a 440 six-pack on it. Amen? I don't mean beer either. Six two-barrel carburetors. You put your foot in the floor, it goes wah. You push a little bit deeper, it goes wah, wah. You push a little bit deeper, it goes wah, wah, wah. That's my kind of car, amen? And they didn't put any limits on them, amen? But I'm going to tell you something I learned a long time ago. If you're driving down the road and you look back, you're going to clip a paper box. I've done it. Now, when my kids was little, I could whip them, never even look back. Be driving along, "Shout back there, we're going to church!" And then walk in church like, "Oh, we're so happy." Wasn't happy 5 minutes ago. Don't look back. You young people, listen to me. Don't you look back at this world. This world, I don't know if you know the myth of Medusa. She was one of these Greek goddesses, you know, and her hair had on. I seen one woman at Walmart look like that the other day. She had these hair. She had on her pajamas and her bedroom shoes. And I said that over yonder. We had three people walk out. But she had these snakes in her hair, you know, and they were just... And if you looked at her in her eyes, you'd turn to stone. Y'all remember that? Let me tell you something. This world's full of Medusas. You just don't realize it till it's too late. Amen? She would attract these men. She would sing, and her voice would attract these men. And then they'd get up close to her and go... Amen. Well, you women laugh about it. Y'all used to be some of them, amen. Listen, thank God you got saved, amen. Listen. What we need to do, we need to not just start well, but run well and end well. We don't need to start well and then fail. We need to end well. Now, you can fall and get up and fall and get up, but you can still stay in the race and end well. You ever heard this? If she's a Christian, the woods are full of them. That's somebody that probably started out running well, but they looked back and messed up. Well, if he's a Christian, the woods are full of Christians. Same way. He probably started out well, and then looked back and he messed up and was attracted by that same old world he came out of, and it stopped him. I've seen that happen to preachers. It's especially preacher boys. In the Blessed Hope Baptist Bible Institute where I went, there was six of us preacher boys. I was 20-something years old, they all were. And we started out with six, and I think by the time I left there, we had two. And far as I know, only two, me and Mickey Barnes, ended up in the ministry, far as I know. They started well, but they looked back, and the old world attracted them like Medusa and turned their heart to stone. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and I'm about through. Matthew 20, 28. Y'all ready to go home and eat peanut butter and banana like Elvis? I am. I like peanut butter. I sing like him too when I eat peanut butter and banana. Amen. I'm not going to die like him though, I'll tell you that right now. Matthew 20. Matthew 20, look at verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what?
Minister.
And to give his life a ransom for many. That's what we're supposed to do. He said, if you want to be chief around here, this is how you get to be chief. Read the whole passage. He that wants to be chief among you has to become the servant. We've sing that song. Teenagers used to sing it a lot. You remember, Billy, Make Me a Servant? You remember teenagers used to sing that song a lot, Make Me a Servant. We don't hear that much anymore. But if we're going to finish well, we're going to run well because we started well, we're going to have to learn how to live to serve other people.
Amen.
Did you know, I want you all young people to look at me, all of you. Did you know you're not the center of the universe? That shocks a lot of people. Did you know you're not even the most important person in the universe? There's a lot of other people that you look down on that are more important than you are. These guys go to the nursing home. They go to, Ron goes four, Billy goes to that one. He's done got to where he preaches over there. I've been watching him. Did you know there's a lot of people over there that got saved at a young age and they lived for God all those years and they ran the race and they didn't look back and God's taken care of them and now they're over there and they're greater than anybody else you might know?
Yes.
You say, but preacher, they barely can remember their own name. Yeah, but God looks down on those that ran well and stayed well and now they're going to finish well and God honors those kind of people. I don't care what condition they're in. I don't care if they're rich or poor, educated, uneducated, black, white, yellow, whatever. God looks at people differently than we do and he said the greatest one among you will be the one that serves others. I used to preach out there at that Catawba Care Home. I call it the County Poorhouse. It's out behind Bowater. They don't call it Bowater anymore. They call it something else I can't pronounce. Ip-tippy or something. Some Japanese person done bought it. But it's back in there. It's a county poorhouse. Yeah. Yeah. Billy, you might remember it. I remember one time there was a lady out there named Mary. She was a black lady. Good, healthy, healthy woman. And Mary was sweet as she could be. It's up, listen to me. It ain't time to go. Get your head off the back of that. It's up, listen to me. Mary, she would go around and pick up chewing tobacco that done been chewed off the ground and chew it. She always had a mouthful of chewing tobacco. And I'll never forget, I took Ricky Cope out there to preach with me one time when Ricky first started preaching. Y'all like that chewing tobacco, didn't you? Y'all probably do that, don't you? Don't y'all do that? Ricky pulled up. He was going to sing for me. And when he pulled up, he got out of the car, and she was sitting up on the porch. She said, Lord, there's a man. And she ran down those stairs like this right here and had that chewing tobacco running. And she just ran up to Ricky and just wrapped around him and started hugging him like this. He was saying, ma'am, ma'am, ma'am. She kissed him on the cheek. When he found out she had chewing tobacco and where it came from, he'd go out there every week with a bag of chewing tobacco for him. Fresh, real stuff. I I didn't have anybody to do music for me. I'd go out there, I'd lead them in songs. We'd have church. I'd preach just like I'm preaching here. While one of them walked through taking her clothes off, you know, and the other one's sitting over there doing all kinds of stuff, talking. I just preached right on. But I'll never forget, there was a lady, I don't remember her name, she was in her 80s, and her hands were deformed with arthritis. And I'm leading the singing, so the next time I come, she said, "Do you need a piano player?" I said, "Can you play the piano?" She said, "Sure, I played the piano at my church for over 20 years.
Amen.
I said, "Did they ever come visit you now?" She said, "No, I hadn't seen anybody from that church in 10 or 15 years. I you don't always know if it's real when they're talking to you, okay? But she sat at that piano, and she could play as good as Jeff Bowman. With them crooked, bent up. I could just open the hymn book and say, "Let's sing the old rugged cross." "Got it, preacher." And she'd play the old rugged cross, and we'd sing like we were uptown, man. But see, most Christians never would even talk to that woman. Her family was all gone. Her church had deserted her. And she loved for us to come out there and have church. Now, you might have to learn how to quit looking down on people and start serving people in love. You're going to have to do that.
Amen.
Did you know some people that come to our church may not have the money to buy the clothes you wear? If I ever hear you criticize them, I'll slap you in Jesus' name. And ask him to forgive me, and he will. What you ought to do is say, "Sis, could I take you and get you a nice dress? I'd like to buy you a dress." Wait till it's their birthday or something so you don't embarrass them. "Or brother, I'd like to buy you a nice pair of shoes or something." Wouldn't that be good?
Amen.
You ought to say, "Man, you lived in the woods for how long?"
9 months.
9 months. Amen. Wouldn't it have been good if some Christian would have come up and said, "Listen, I want to take you over here and buy you a steak, man. Let's go get something to eat."
Amen.
It would have been. Now, that's how you run the race. That's how you don't just get saved well, but you run it well. And then that's how you end well, by serving other people. Well, to live to serve. I've been a youth pastor in 3 different churches. I've served in all kinds of places. I've been pastor in 3 churches. And every church I ever went to, I always told the pastor this, every time. And I'm shouldn't have to say I'm telling you the truth. Everything's truth. But I'm telling you the truth. Every church I ever went to as a young preacher, I would say, "Pastor, I'm not here to hurt your church. I'll never try to take over your church. And if I ever disagree with you bad enough doctrinally, I'm not going to fuss with you. I'm not going to fight with you. We'll just quietly slip away."
Amen.
God didn't send me here to straighten you out.
Because
I was a young man.
Yes.
You know, I've never had a young man do that to me when they came to my church. I've had some do just the opposite. But where are they now? What we got to do, Brother Tom, is learn how to put others before us. In children's church, we sing that song about Jesus, J-O-Y. And we'd say, "Put Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between, and you'll be all right." Now, I'm not the best Christian in this room, but I found out that true greatness lies in serving other people. Don't always be in the receiving line. Sometimes be in the distributing line.
Yes.
We had this, I'll never forget, and maybe I ought not tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I can't remember his name, so don't worry about that. We had this fellow come from West Virginia, and I asked him, I said, "How did you find Rock Hill, South Carolina, all the way from West Virginia, Hills, West Virginia?" He said, "Well, I filled her up with gas and I run out right down here on I-77 McDonald's, Cherry Road." I said, "How'd you find this church?" He said, "Somebody picked me up and brought me to church." But then when he found out that we were givers, every Sunday after church, I go to my office, he'd be sitting right, and I had a chair outside. Every Sunday, "Preacher, can y'all pay my power bill? Preacher, can y'all pay my oil bill? Preacher, can I have a little gas money? Preacher, can we have a little grocery money?" And finally, I looked at him. I said, "Brother, let me ask you something. Are you crippled?" "No." "Are your hands okay?" "Yeah." I said, "It sounds like you think pretty clearly." "I do." I said, "Go get you a job. When was the last time you gave anything to anybody else? This church is keeping you up, man." Why don't we serve others instead of asking them to serve us. Now, I'm not proud. I'm not bragging or anything. But I found out a long time ago, if I serve others, God will take care of me. I don't have to be at the front of the line. I can be at the back of the line. I don't have to have the biggest portion. I can have the smallest portion. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to pay me a lot of attention.
Yeah.
He will.
Amen?
Amen? And there's a lot more to the Christian life and being successful at it than just being saved. There's a lot more to it.
Yes, sir.
You go to average church today, that's all there is. Just getting saved and it's done. Well, it's not done. We have a race to run.
Yeah.
We have a life to live. And what we ought to do, we ought to get serious about it.
Yeah.
Preacher, I'll lose my job. God will give you another job. I'll lose my friends. You might be better off without those friends. My family will quit having anything to do with me. Sometimes you're better off if your family don't have anything to do with you. But besides that, you're supposed to be in a new family anyway, right here, the family of God. Many years the family of God has been better to me than my own family. Try it. Won't you just try being a Christian? Not just being saved. Won't you try to be a Christian?
Amen.
Pick up your cross. Follow Him. Abandon all else. And I'll guarantee you, if you do that, He'll draw nigh to you. And He'll reward you for it. And when you get to heaven, He'll say, "Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, my good and faithful servant." Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.